All right. Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 96 for Monday, March 25th, 2019.
We got the Two Bobs. We're going to talk about the beer we're drinking.
Oh, no.
We're also going to talk about some sports that probably shouldn't be sports, but they are.
They are. And this week's crazy news, we're going to talk about a sinkhole, Arby's, ass scratch fever, wallets are easier, a Detroit cockroach, some ramen noodles, and a different take on Chinese organ thieves.
A different, not the usual take.
Yeah, not the usual Chinese organ thieves, but this one's a little bit more of a specialist.
So like a remix of Chinese organ thieves.
Well, you got your primary care physician, and then you got your specialist. This is more of the specialist.
Yeah. I like ass scratch fever. I keep thinking of ass scratch fever.
Yeah, cat scratch fever, but it's ass scratch fever.
No, I got the pun there. I've been getting the pun.
Yeah, that's good.
Very puntastic.
I got ass scratch fever.
Oh, well, you should take care of that. They have ointments, I think, for that.
Lotion.
Oh, boy. Recording on a Friday this week.
Yeah, we made it. I had baseball last night and tonight. And because of the rain that we got, about 3 inches yesterday and a bit less today, but... they decided to cancel it because the fields are a big soggy mess. So we're able to record on time.
Fantastic. You know, this is one instance where Mother Earth made it easier for us to podcast.
Rather than stand in our way, it decided to go ahead and give us what we wanted in the first place.
I'm usually see the exact opposite. So, you know, we'll take it. We'll take it. It's a little victory for the podcast. And anyway.
It's usually rain stopping the show, not stopping other things that allow us to actually record. So I'll take it.
And boy, do we need our beers this week, huh? I text you. I'm like, I might actually have to drink my whole beer this week.
And yeah. Well, I thought I had another one, and I thought if we were going to do it during the week, or for one of the other options was to do it kind of late during the week, that I would have just a smaller one. But once it got moved to Friday night, I figured I'll bring the big barrel out and I'll enjoy it. So are you ready to dive in?
Yeah. All fucking bets are off now, right?
Oh, you ready to drink it?
Sorry, I was talking, but you just wanted to go right into the beer. No problem. Go ahead.
Right now?
No, I just made a little witty comment.
Oh, well, repeat it.
And I said, no, it's not witty anymore. It's that's the now? Problem. It's the time has passed. It's just hit the button.
Play your timing is really off today.
Oh, my God.
Hey, bartender,
if you let me get a damn word in, I'd be able to say things.
Well, I was waiting for you to start yelling at me. Just go.
What? When we first connected on Skype, I was like, all right, this show's got to hit the road because if this goes much longer, I'm just going to fall asleep. But anyway, got a good one this week. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Another Two Bobs First Brewery, which is Epic Brewing. They're based out of Salt Lake City, which is ironic because, you know, Salt Lake City, they're a bunch of Mormons. They don't drink, right? But nonetheless, they have a brewery there. And they're making fun of Catholicism with the Big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout.
Well, Baptist, not Catholic. That's two different things.
That's what I say. Catholicism. I meant Christianity.
Oh, okay.
So I told you, I'm losing it already. I meant Christianity.
Well, good. We'll have a game later. So you keep drinking that, and then there's a game here. You probably saw it, and we'll come across it.
Well, fantastic. So again, I have the Big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout, which is a stout with cacao nibs and coffee added and aged in whiskey barrels. And again, it's from Epic Brewing out of Salt Lake City. And it says here, the one big bad... Fuck me. Okay, let's try it again.
Fine.
One big bad imperial stout with cacao nibs and coffee beans. Each season's release uses a different dark roasted coffee. Glassware would be a snifter, just in case you were wondering.
I have a snifter.
I don't have a snifter.
I hardly knew her.
Food pairings, hard cheeses, dark chocolate desserts. Those are all delicious, right?
Yeah.
And what I found is it. What's funny is on the bottle, it doesn't list the ABV, the alcohol content.
It's too high. They're getting.
Oh wait, hold on. Maybe it is actually. It's like print. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Release number 89. Okay. And this one is 11.9% alcohol by volume. So what's funny is depending on what release it is, that, you know, it changes the alcohol content, kind of like the KBS and some of the other ones. Their alcohol content changes a little bit from year to year. So this one's 11.9%, it's well received on the social things. I think Untappd had it like a 4.3. Beer Advocate lists it 4.36 out of 5, so with lots of ratings, so should be a pretty good one. Before I taste it,
yeah,
I can smell the cacao. So there's, it's kind of a roasty or dark chocolate that I smell.
Yeah.
And it's really present too. When I drink it. So, what hits me right away is the chocolate. So like a deep, nice, dark chocolate presence, a little bit of the coffee. I get the whiskey barrel taste of the boozy taste from the whiskey barrels. It's pretty smooth concerning the alcohol by volume. Again, it reminds me of some of the founders, barrel age, where they're that higher alcohol content, those aged brews, but just, they don't kick your ass with the boozy taste, but it's definitely there and present. This is actually a really, really good beer. This is a solid beer from Epic Brewing. I'm going to rate it 4.5 out of 5 on Untappd.
Wow, that's good.
And, if you see it, pick it up. Now, this one, I don't know if it comes in a smaller size, but this is a pint, so 6 fluid ounces, and it's a nice big bottle. And I don't know if it comes in a 4-pack or a 6-pack. I don't know, but that's what I got it in. Well, nice. I figured because I'm not drinking as much beer right now, and so I figure, rather than keep getting all these 4 and 6 packs, Kelly came down here earlier to grab some of her Soft Parade and was like, God, there's so much beers, because I keep buying multiples of the same beer, and then I drink one and I'm not drinking the rest of it right now. So
yeah.
I think what I'm going to do is go to Napa Valley and pick up, like, just build a couple 6 packs and have those. I think at the end, it'd be a hell of a lot easier. But anyway, it's good, beer.
If they're close by where you can get to them pretty easily, do they do growlers?
I don't know if they do growlers, but they have, I mean, they have so many bottles and cans.
I follow them on Twitter and Instagram, I think, and I see them constantly showing that they've got new things. And Norm's is pretty good as far as where I work, but it's kind of in a weird spot. And I like to go there because they always have stuff, but it's a little bit, you know, if I have such a small window of time to get there, I like to use some of it just kind of chilling out, not going bumper to bumper down and stopping at a bunch of lights to get there. So I need to do it more, but it's probably a very similar place. But they do growlers there, and I thought if you could get the smaller growlers, might be one of those where you can just kind of do that, have it for the show, and be done.
Yeah, but like you said, though, it's the reason I don't go there more often, because, I mean, honestly, if it was convenient right down the street, I'd go there all the time for the beers.
Yeah.
But is they are out of the way. They're kind of off the beaten path compared to where I normally, you know, my normal commutes to and from places.
Yeah.
So I don't get over there all that often, but I'll have to figure out. I'll make an exception and get over there at some point soon. I think so.
Well, cool.
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, the last couple of weeks I've had something more along the IPA range after spending a lot of time in the stouts and the darker beers. So this time I had planned to go that route, but again, like I said earlier, I got a nice big bottle of this, and I've really been wanting to try it, trying to find just the right time to do it, and tonight seemed just perfect after this week. So I've got a very large bottle. It's the Hardywood Bourbon Barrel Raspberry Stout with Vanilla Beans, and it's a bourbon barrel aged chocolate raspberry stout finished on Madagascar vanilla beans. I'm going to check the size here. It's quite large.
Madagascar has the best beavers.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's 1 pint, 9.4 fluid ounces, so 750 milliliters. So one of the big giant bottles.
Yeah, we have the same bottles, so same size. I have a pint as well.
No, it's a pint and 9.4
ounces.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's a pint, which I think is 16 plus 9. Alexa, how many ounces is 750 milliliters?
750 milliliters is 25.4 fluid ounces.
So 25.4. How many ounces are in a pint?
16.
Is it?
Yeah. Alexa, how many ounces in a pint?
One pint equals 16 fluid ounces.
Okay, so it's two cups. I didn't know that. All right, so mine's one pint, 6 fluid ounces, so it's 22. So then they're
That's good. That's close. Little, mine's one and nine.
Yeah,
so it's a nice big bottle, and I panicked when I got down here because I knew it had the little foil, not the foil, but the like hanger like metal that I had to twist off like a wine bottle, and then I was like, shit, I don't have a bottle that's opener down here. About. Well, because under it was a cork.
Oh, my God.
Under it was a cork. No. And then I'd have to go back upstairs, and we would have had to stop. And I'm smelling it, and it doesn't have a smell like wine. But anyhow, the website says, a dessert beer to the core, our raspberry stout is truly a feat in decadence.
It's fucking cold out here.
Loads of chocolate malt cacao nibs and local late-season red raspberries.
A lot of cacao nibs.
A lot of cacao at the Agriberry Farm all contribute to what would be described as a raspberry truffle in liquid form.
Ooh.
After months of patient maturation, I'm glad I read that correctly. Never seen a patient masturbation in freshly emptied bourbon barrels. Our raspberry stout is finished on Madagascar vanilla beans.
It's got to spend more time at a mental hospital.
Before it finishes on the beans, revealing a confluence of smooth, rich, dark chocolate, ripe red raspberries, and real vanilla. And as we've talked about, vanilla is made from the asshole of the beaver. It's 11.5% alcohol by volume.
Capsaicin.
That's right. And 55 IBUs, barrel-aged chocolate stout. And other ingredients just says raspberry. So I've been nursing it because I wanted to get a head start on it while we were going to record tonight. And I've already got some of the taste kind of planned out as far as what I felt in there. But I'm going to give it more of a focused taste and see if I can pick anything else out.
Oh, great.
I smell the raspberry.
Do you taste the raspberry and the chocolate? That's what I do so.
I taste the raspberry right. As you drink it, you don't really taste any of the chocolate. I don't get a whole lot of the vanilla, but the chocolate is definitely there on the finish. So you start with the raspberry, and as that taste dissipates, you kind of end up with a nice chocolate. So it's got that like a dark chocolate bit of a tang to it. So I like it a lot. I'm gonna rate it fairly high too. I'm gonna rate it a 4.5.
I love finishing on chocolate.
And as I mentioned, this beer is from the Virginia area, and episode 68, Would You Wather, I had a Hardywood Peach Triple. I would rather. And then episode 89, Banana Assault, I had the Gingerbread Stout. So I've had a couple of these Hardywoods either on the show or outside of the show, and I like them a lot. So
I'd give it a shot if my name wasn't Dumpling.
What? What are you talking about?
If I were a Russian man known as Dumpling.
Oh, I've gotten a Dumpling. See, it's screwing me up. It's behind in there. But yeah, I saw this, and now we'll segue from the beer into Mr. Dumpling here. But this is funny. Now baseball is getting ready to start, right? We're like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks at most away from opening day. Are you going to go to opening day, by the way?
I'm not. No.
They're saying, you don't want to be tempted by all the hot dogs Caesar's pizza.
Honestly, it's been so far off. I hate to say it. It's just, it's been so far off my radar. Like, it just occurred to me. I'm like, well, shit, opening day's in a couple of weeks. That's all right because I don't have time to take the time off work right now. Yeah. And I'll still hit up a couple Tigers games, so that's all that matters. But at least the Tigers are a real sport, right?
Yeah.
and we always, like there's always you hear about like these crazy, this kind of really bizarre sports, and one of them actually, I'm going to send you.
Especially in Russia.
I'm going to especially when with a guy named Dumpling. I'm going to send you a real quick here. I know this is going to really, you know, hurt. This is going to hurt your soul because this is not on the list. But I just sent you a league of 12 sports that are too crazy to be true.
Oh,
okay. I think we should talk about this real quick and then go into this one, which is the latest craze. So the article that I sent you, it's talking about kind of this, again, kind of crazy sports. So one of them is cheese rolling, where every year a 9-pound round of cheese is sent rolling down the top of Cooper's Hill near Gloucester and in England. The competitors have to chase after it. But the cheese may reach speeds up to 70 miles per hour, and the chances of catching it are pretty low. So the people or the person who crosses the finish line first wins the cheese. If you decide to take part in the competition, you should be extremely careful because the uneven surface of Cooper's Hill may cause serious injuries. So not only are...
Is that a metric 70 miles an hour, or is that a United States 70 miles an hour?
So anyway, but I feel like we should probably go through these real quick. Just
well, where did you funny. Send them to? I don't have them.
I just texted it to you.
There's nothing there.
Because I texted it to the wrong.
I'm sitting here and I knew it. Person. I said, "Oh, I sent it to somebody else." Kelly's. Oh, there it is.
I texted it to the wrong person.
I say, wait, Kelly's gonna, be like, gonna, "Why did you send this to me?"
Did I text? I texted to one of my colleagues at work.
Okay. All right.
Oops.
Chess boxing
person.
Chess boxing number 11. Chess boxing invented by Dutch artist Aip Rubing has initially thought to be an art performance rather than a sport. Nowadays, the game consists of 11 rounds, 6 rounds of chess, and 5 rounds of boxing. The competitor can win by knockout in the ring or checkmate on the board. It's a good opportunity to test both your physical and mental ability. So I guess the goal is to beat the guy in the chess so you don't have to go and punch him.
I guess so.
That's a good idea.
Well, it depends. Are you a meathead or are you witty? Because, you know, that could determine which round you'd like to you'd favor. The other one. And this is, you know, I don't know if you do this yourself, but worm charming.
I do. Yeah. Little flute.
You charm worms.
Yeah.
Out of little wicker baskets. Yeah. Perfect. Worm charming is a sport where the competitors are given a 3 millimeter, square millimeter plot of land and try to extract
square meter. Yeah. Square millimeter wouldn't be very much.
3 square millimeters.
meters.
That's true. That's not a lot of millimeters whatsoever.
So that's where you patiently masturbate on the worm and finish on him with vanilla.
Oh boy. And then you just put it in between two pieces of chocolate. A three square meter plot of land. And try to extract as many worms as possible out from the ground within 30 minutes. The world record belongs to 10-year-old Sophie Smith. You know Sophie Smith?
I know.
Well, let me tell you about Sophie Smith. She charmed 567 worms to the surface at the World Worm Charming Championships in 2009.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even tell you, Florida Worm Charming. Wow, that's weird. I figured for sure this would be something over in one of those European countries where they do weird stuff like this.
Florida does it. That's weird.
Just like slap each other.
Florida man charms worms out of a 3-square meter plot of land.
Now, I have a feeling this next one could be something we could do at pretty much anywhere soccer is played because those guys are pretty fragile. But this is bubble soccer.
Oh.
Yeah, bubble soccer can bring tons of fun not only to the players but also to the spectators. The players are encased in inflatable bubbles, which cover their upper body and head. Not their shins, though, because that's usually what they're writhing on the ground holding. The game was first invented in Norway, of course, in 2011. The match is played by two teams, each consisting of no more than 5 players. According to the rules of the game, each team must have at least 1 female on the field at all times during play. This sounds legit. It doesn't really say, but...
I don't know. Number 8's the wife carrying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever carried
facing the wrong direction.
I don't know. That booty's right up in there. The sport
I'm saving this one.
the sport of wife carrying was born in a small town in Sankajärvi in Finland. Male competitors race while each carrying their wives on their backs through an obstacle course. The history of wife carrying is based on the 19th century legend of Ronkainen the Robber.
Oh, yeah.
Ronkainen the Robber. According to one of the versions, Ronkainen the Robber and the members of his gang were stealing food and women from neighboring villages, carrying them over their shoulders as they ran away. Wife carrying world championships are held annually in Finland, and the winner receives the equivalent of his wife's weight in beer.
Oh, boy.
Oh. I'd be porking my wife up all year around then.
That's right. Here, have another
387 pounds of beer.
Have another block of cheese. We're going wife carrying.
Oh, this one looks disgusting.
Well, this one I would expect he would pop out of there and he'd be covered in leeches. But bog snorkeling. Bog snorkeling is probably one of the most bizarre sports on Earth. Every year in August, hundreds of swimmers all over the world gather in small town of Langwarted Wells, Wales.
Exactly. Yep.
That's stupid. To compete in the World Bog Snorkeling Championship.
You can't fucking say it.
The competitors are required to wear snorkels and flippers and complete two lengths of a 60-yard trench without using traditional swim strokes. So they're down in this water. He's wearing a snorkel. He's got a cap on. And I guess you just got to kind of wade through it and get to the end. I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, no, thanks. Number six, bamboo drift racing. Single bamboo drift racing is a popular sport in Southwest China's Guangzhou province. The competitors stand on an approximately 20-foot long
boneless chicken there.
Bamboo pole and use a thin stick of bamboo as an oar. Initially, drifting wasn't a sport, but it means a transportation in China. Nowadays, bamboo is often replaced by a similar looking green fiberglass poles that are more durable.
That seems
This one here.
This is a sport only for women. It's number five, extreme ironing. According to this Extreme Ironing Bureau, I think I'm going to register for that. This is the latest danger sport that combines the thrills of an extreme outdoor activity with the satisfaction of a well-pressed shirt. And ironing is kind of like cutting the grass. It's a nice thing. You start there and your shirt's got all these wrinkles in it or your pants. And when you're done, it's nice and smooth. They feel good to put on. It's kind of like I said, cutting the grass. You can look. Yeah,
Cut my grass. So.
Yeah, I pay somebody to iron. So the competitors call themselves ironists.
Ironists.
I'm too lazy and go to the dangerous or remote places with a board to do the ironing. The activities may include ironing underwater, which could be pretty dangerous, on top of a mountain, in moving vehicles, in a canoe, in the middle of a busy street, while skiing, skydiving, or snowboarding. In the picture. Shows basically two people up there. Two of them are holding an iron board, and the third one is holding the iron as they're diving. They're above the clouds. They got a long way to go to get that shirt.
Now, how'd you iron underwater? That's interesting. First off, electricity travels through water.
Yeah,
water's a conductor. We all know that.
But
secondly, all right. Anyway,
it would ruin the point of it because your shirt wouldn't be dry.
This
get out here. And it would dry and it'd be wrinkly again.
That's true. Number four is fucking disgusting.
That's gross. Toes are not meant to be shown. That's why I hate people that wear flip flops.
Toe wrestling. Fucking toe wrestling. This unusual sport involves two competitors trying to pin down each other's foot onto the ground for at least 3 seconds. There are rounds that are played first in the right foot and then the left foot. The strange sport dates back to 1976, which a bunch of people who are high on LSD, apparently, living in Staffordshire, were trying to think of a sport that only the British could win. Only the British could win toe wrestling, apparently.
I guess. Yeah. Now, log rolling, I've seen this one, where two competitors stand on a floating log while causing the opponent to lose their balance and fall off. Participants can use a variety of techniques to send each other into the water, like kicking the log, changing direction. However, they are not allowed to touch each other or cross the center line. Squat requires leg strength and a high level of balance and focus.
That actually seems like a real kind of.
Yeah, I've seen that like movies or something, but I'm not going to do that.
This one here, number two, underwater boxing. Chick on the left looks kind of cute though. It may sound but she just got knocked out. Looks like by the other bitch. She's just like, look at that game face on her. Fuck.
It may sound nothing to eat.
It may sound pretty odd, but underwater boxing is a great option for people who want to start boxing but don't want to get hard punches on their face and body. Boxers have to hold their breath underwater for 1 minute for three rounds and surface to get some air in between the rounds. Nope.
That's stupid.
No thanks.
This one's something I do every night is sheep counting. Sheep counting competitions have become fairly popular in Australia. Contrary to the mental exercise of counting sheep to fall asleep, the sport requires lots of attention and a sharp eye. Approximately 400 sheep are released from a pen and run past 10 competitors who attempt to count them as accurately as possible. The person who states the exact number of sheep become the winner of the competition. Would you ever consider taking part in any of these competitions? Do you know any other sports that are more unusual than these? Feel free to share them in the comments.
So I think we do actually know. First off, that's the worst sport ever. But secondly, and that brings us back to the Russian man known as Dumpling.
Dumpling, yeah.
Yeah, Dumpling.
He's a jerk.
Who is a competitive slappist?
He's a slapper of slappies.
He's a Russian guy, and he engages in a sport of competitive slapping.
Yeah.
And this was originally appeared in Vice in Canada, but it shows two men facing off across a white table, and then on one side you have a burly man with a blue sweatshirt, across from him a much smaller, minuscule man in a green jacket and a scarf. The two lean over at the table as a rather large crowd looks on. The two lock eyes, and a man who I guess would be the referee taps them both on the shoulder, and then it's time to go. Then they start slapping
one at a time
shit out of each other politely and professionally, as they patiently wait for the other to finish so it would be their turn. So this is essentially a sport in which people take turns slapping the shit out of each other. Now, how do you win, though?
You got to give up.
Okay, you got to say, that's enough.
You just can't take it anymore.
There's a YouTube video, which I must watch.
But these guys have taken it to the extreme. They actually have their shirts off.
Wow.
The one guy's really hairy, and the other guy completely shaves himself from head to toe.
Right at the beginning, this guy just...
they don't wait.
Hold on. I need you to see exactly what I'm seeing here. So, let's see.
And it's a full slap, too. It's not like it's just a regular one just to kind of see if you're going to be able to feel it. But, I mean, they reach back. And they unload with a full big slap.
Yeah, I mean, look at this.
I saw him. But you go ahead and show it.
I need you to see it as I'm seeing it, though.
You need to.
All right, so there's a fairly decent crowd just standing around. The guy
was Russia. What else?
The guy with the blue shirt is kind of just like bracing himself.
Yeah.
Like he's got like a coach. There's a fucking coach who's all right.
He's telling him, and his coach is just slap the shit out of him. That's all you got to tell him to do. He doesn't need anything. The guy's not going to try to get you at the same time.
Wow. I mean,
it's a full slap.
It's an open fist. It's an open hand. So it's open hand. Like,
yeah, and he's done already.
Really?
Yeah. The other guy's done. He took one, but it was a vicious slap. This is a pro slapper. I don't know if he's Dumpling, but this doesn't really tell
you. They have a nurse there or like a medic.
Yeah. Casey bursts into flame. Let's see here. Yeah.
I just need to see one.
There's the naked guys.
Oh, fuck this guy here. Look at this guy.
One guy's about 350. The other guy.
That was nothing.
Yeah. See, I think they're kind of building up where the other guy went full force on it. The other guy didn't even wait. He just,
there's no way the smaller guy is going to win this, though. Oh, that was, I mean, that was a good slap, but
yeah.
Look at this guy. This guy's got a beard. He's got like padding too. Like his face is all red.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's done. It's like, who's going to win? Somebody, oh, yeah, see, the big guy did it. And it's not like he even really hit him as much as the other guy. He just happened to be that he.
Every slap, he's like, all right, you all right? You're right. All right.
You put him in a bubble. If you put him in a bubble, he won't hurt him.
Just like bubble soccer, they should have bubble bitch slapping.
That was a good one.
Oh.
And it's, his hat fell off.
Knocked his hat off.
Yeah, these are full slaps. I'm telling you. They're not. Yeah,
seriously.
This is a legit extreme. Yeah, see, the other guy already called it. He said, no, I can't take it.
Well, nobody likes getting slapped. That's the thing.
No, they don't.
You play hockey, and you know that sometimes you're going to play hockey, and you're going to get checked into the boards. You might get slashed. You might get in a fight. But that's incidental to the sport. Like, it just happens every once in a while. It's not the center. It's not like you don't say, I fight for a living, and sometimes accidentally hockey breaks out. Like, it's just. That's something else. Wow.
This is what it is.
Crazy, crazy world we live in, Robert.
Yeah.
Now that we've just completely gone on like a big fucking tangent. But I Googled the you know, crazy sport thing, and that popped up. Yeah. I was like, that's kind of fun. We're going to slide it in there.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Are you ready for crazy news?
Let's do it.
Oh, shit.
Welcome to crazy news. The craziest fucking news you'll hear all fucking week.
That shows you where my mind's at.
We already talked about the beer, Robert.
The reason is I already started pouring the rest of my glass here. My head may or may not be. It's probably not safe for me to drive, so thankfully I'm already home.
Oh, good, good. This is the most beer I've had in quite some time. I'm almost down a full glass here. But anyway.
Again, the big old bottle.
You're never going to guess, Robert, where our first story of this week's crazy news takes us.
Maryland?
They have. close. Oh. Further south, it has a panhandle.
Oh, panhandle. West Virginia.
West Virginia doesn't have a fucking panhandle, Robert.
Does it? You drive through it when you go to the beach. You drive. Well, you fly now, but you used to drive right through the panhandle.
I guess it's a little one, though. It's like
it's called the panhandle.
It's, but it's not like if you had a pan the size of West Virginia with a handle that small.
If you give a mouse a cookie.
No, Robert, the first story brings us to Florida. Damn it.
Why didn't I guess?
I don't know. You put the fucking story on here, first off. But this talks about a Florida drunk driver who hit a hydrant.
A fire
hydrant, creating a huge sinkhole that swallowed the car. I don't know why that's so funny. Central Florida driver ended up in jail, and her car ended up in a sinkhole she created after she drunkenly struck a car fire. Fuck. After she drunkenly struck a fire hydrant Friday morning, according to police. Alexandria Runyon, a 22-year-old woman from Lady Lake, is accused of driving into the hydrant in Summerfield, Wesh. Oh, this is the station. The WESH reports.
Right.
That unleashed water from the hydrant, making a sinkhole 20 feet across and 8 feet deep, that engulfed Runyon's car. Nearly drowning Runyon and a woman trying to help her escape the hole, according to the TV station. Marion County first responders rescued both women, and then Runyon was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence and booked into Marion County jail at $1,000 bond, Villages News reports. Apparently, she paid it in food stamps. Sean Drake was driving home from work Friday when he spotted the crash, and after reporting the incident to 911, he called his aunt and his mother, Dawn Drake, to come
help. The same person.
Yeah, the Ocala Star Banner reports. I go over and I'm like, oh my God, you okay? Sean Drake said of his first reaction with Runyon. Dude, you're in a fucking hole.
That you created when you ran into the fire hydrant. I scrolled down to see if she was kind of hot. Looks like she's waiting for Zool.
She looks like she's fucking possessed.
Loser.
Seriously, she looks like her head's going to start spinning in fucking circles. But when Don Drake arrived and approached the vehicle to help Runyon, part of the vehicle sank into the pit of water. So he called his aunt. Oh, that was aunt. Was
his aunt mom.
Aunt Don was already there.
Right.
Engulfing both her and Runyon, according to the newspaper. Down I went into 10 feet of water. I was hanging out for dear life, Don Drake said, explaining how she clung to a front tire and open door while Runyon clung to another part of the vehicle, according to Star Banner. Don Drake described it as just a total shock in her interview with WKMG. Sean Drake got in the passenger side of the car and to pull Runyon back into the vehicle, but he said she was fighting me and had no idea what was going on, and she prevented him from reaching and rescuing his mom.
Well, she was trying to finish ironing. That's the problem.
They thought that he was trying to make sexual advances at them, rescuing his mom, and the Star Banner reports. At one point, Runyon tried closing the door behind, the front door.
Fine, you stay in there.
Closing the front door Don Drake was clinging to, but her son said, prompting him to yell at her to quit trying to shut it, according to the Star Banner. I was trying to help somebody, and I was fighting and being completely ridiculous, Sean Drake said. Firefighters and deputies finally arrived and pulled Don Drake and Runyon to safety.
Oh, good.
I was probably there for 10 minutes, Don Drake said, according to the Star Banner. I'll tell you, I'm sore. I got gashes on my fingers. Where I was hanging on. A Florida Highway Patrol report said Runyon crashed the 2004 Buick Century around 2 a.m. on U.S. Highway 441, 156th place. If you're in that area, don't go near the sinkholes. There's a car in there and about 10 feet deep. According to the Village News, troopers said Runyon doesn't remember how she hit the fire hydrant or how... clearly, because she had to have been sitting there for a while before it just created a sinkhole and buried her car in it. Or much else about the crash, the Star Banner reports. Body camera footage of the rescue obtained by WCJB appears to show Don Drake wrapped in a blanket. That video shows Drake's explaining to their rescuers exactly what happened with Runyon.
And I have it pretty quoted that she said, there is no Dana, only Zool. I'm going to save that. And Melissa mentioned that to me the other day. She goes, you know, how come all your show art, there's always these like haggard looking women in there. It's like, well, if you guys wouldn't stop doing shit, we wouldn't have that.
If better looking women would start doing stupid shit all the time, we'd put them on there.
That's true.
My colleague that I sent that link to about the, he goes, I said, oops, wrong person. He goes, thanks for sharing though. You're welcome.
Now, I love Arby's.
I do too. They got the meats.
They got the meats. They also got the jalapeno poppers. If you're just in the fix for jalapeno poppers, they got them. The Bronco berry sauce is really good. We're going to stay in Florida because it's got a panhandle, I just learned. We're going to head over to Royal Palm Beach.
You fucker.
Where deputies say that a Florida Arby's manager chased an employee with a knife. Arby's manager is facing felony charges after an employee claims she pepper sprayed him and chased him with a knife. Latoria Atkins, 21, is charged with aggravated assault, battery, and criminal mischief. According to a police report, an employee, Ernst Point du Jour, claims that he and Atkins got into an argument on Saturday night at Arby's after she asked him to stay late.
bitch.
When he refused, the two reportedly exchanged words and the conversation got heated. Co-workers say that point du jour, what's the soup of the day, was angry about not being released from work and got very close to Atkins.
Today's soup is Ernst Point.
Well, that's when point du jour claims that Atkins shot pepper spray into his eyes.
Oh.
When he ran out of the store, co-workers claimed that Atkins grabbed a large kitchen knife and chased after him. Although point du jour wasn't stabbed, Atkins scratched up his car with the weapon, and she was later arrested and been released on bail. So she asked him to stay to work a couple extra hours. He said no. Then she pepper sprayed him and chased him with a knife.
Well, I should send this to my boss and be like, see, I'm not that bad.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. You had a long, hard week. They're asking you to come in on a Saturday, or you're doing it just because. You know, you need to swing by Arby's, get a knife and some pepper spray, and then head on into the office in case things get crazy.
Man. So this guy from the, he's a UP. He's a UPer. That's what we call him. People from the UP. We don't claim, again, we don't claim that, we don't take any ownership of anything that they do up there, because it is like another country up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. But this particular UPer, a butt grabber, was arrested and charged in a string of cases. He's a serial butt rapist.
Right.
Wait, butt grabber. It's not rape, I guess, but...
He's the Upper Peninsula butt grabber is what they call him.
Wow, that's amazing. A man who police say terrorized Upper Peninsula woman by grabbing their rear ends and then running off is behind bars, said Marquette County prosecuting attorney Matthew Weiss. I didn't even know they had attorneys up there. Caleb Anderson was charged Friday with multiple counts of criminal sexual conduct in the fourth degree, police said. Anderson is accused of going up to women.
Right. That's the first step.
Grabbing their butts or their behinds and then running away. It's in its current in Marquette. Did he run away giggling?
His hands up in the air.
It wasn't me. Including,
did he turn away real fast? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. It was a leprechaun.
The incident occurred in Marquette.
Rubber chicken.
wasn't me. It was the rubber chicken. Including on campus of Northern Michigan University. The case is a joint investigation between Marquette Police Department and the Northern Michigan University Police Department.
Now when I pinch George's butt, this is what he does.
Well, let's see what Cocky Nuts does.
Wow. I think that means he likes it.
I think those were pleasure screams, Robert.
Feel the burn.
Oh boy. All right, what else we got here?
Well, did you tell them how it's a joint investigation between the Marquette Police Department and the Northern Michigan
was
University Police Department?
Apparently not. I didn't know that there was that was there.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I got you for.
It's a joint investigation.
Oh,
it's
legal. No, I told them that.
Oh, joint investigations are legal in Michigan?
Apparently you can investigate joints all you want. Oh boy, this next one.
This is funny shit. You sent it to me and I had just saved it and said, oh, this is good timing.
Oh my god. I sent this to a bunch of people that if you listen to the show, I don't go into too much detail about my job, but I do work for a financial institution. So this was pretty funny, man. I sent it to a bunch of colleagues and I was just rolling laughing at.
Well, this one takes us over to New Jersey, and I don't think they have a panhandle, but the internet's endless void of content has spit out yet another gold nugget. In this case, that nugget is an ATM and a determined man doing whatever it takes to drag the machine onto a New Jersey transit bus. Whether it's real or fake is another story, but we'll address that later. According to a 47-second video obtained by New Jersey Transit. A man is spotted possessing, then twirling and pushing a money dispensing machine towards a bus stop for passengers. Once he reaches the vehicle's entrance, the man yells, "I'll split it with you," at the driver.
Just let me on. Somebody's going to notice have any this quarters. Is missing.
I don't have any quarter, but I got a shitload of bills. A female's voice is heard saying, "No, no, 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 no," in response. I didn't count those, but I hope that was enough. The door is then closed, leaving the person and the ATM curbside. "Are you going to do this to me for real?" he says. Right before the bus departs, the man pleads with the driver one more time. "We could have made money together." So he can't carry it, so he's got to spin it around and roll it. But yeah, he's
we had a good thing going. You threw it all away.
Yeah, he's stolen the ATM, and the only way he can get it home. And they have that. I mean, I'm pretty sure everywhere, but it's been on the news locally here lately, where people would drive up in their truck, and the ATM that's in like a 7-Eleven, they'll drive the truck into the window and smash it, and then they'll grab the ATM, throw it in the back of the pickup, and then steal it. So I guess he didn't have any of those means. He didn't have a pickup.
What's funny though is kind of a little funny tidbit. Now, I don't know the smaller ones that you can actually just, you know, like this guy roll it around and move it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I mean, you might be able to, you know, if it probably take a while. I think eventually you'd be able to get into it. But the big ATMs that are built into the ground that are outside of banks and stuff like that, like, even if you can somehow get that away, you're never going to break into it.
Well,
get into it.
It happens a lot around here. Well, not around here, I'm sure everywhere, but I see it on the news all the time.
Oh, yeah, and we see it too. But regardless, the video of this guy... This video of the guy, I gotta watch it again. Hold on.
I'll save the art because it's actually really good.
So here he is. So it's a busy street, and there's a city bus. There's people boarding the bus to get where they're going. And here you got this guy who's just like dragging this fucking ATM across the. It's like he's dancing with it.
Yeah,
trying to get it onto the bus. He's like, "All right, I got to get this ATM up here."
Well, he can't pick it up, so he has to. He has to like. He doesn't have wheels.
He's pleading with the bus driver. It just shuts the door right on front of. All right, bye, Felicia. I'm out of here. Shuts the door, and now he's just kind of like, "Oh, he's not happy," and there goes the bus.
He was trying to make a clean getaway.
He's hitting the bus too as it's pulling away. He is not happy. Oh man, it's only a matter of time before a police officer just like rolls up and is like, "Yeah, sir, is that your ATM?" Most people don't own ATMs for their own money. They have bank accounts. They put that stuff in.
A wallet would be a lot easier.
They use other people's ATMs to get the money when they need it.
That's my own personal ATM. Too funny.
Oh, that is funny.
Well, this one's Detroit again, so.
Yeah. I guess I better do this one then.
All right. Detroit's getting some love. You've got two Detroit so far.
No, Detroit, the upper
peninsula is not. That's still Michigan. Fuck. That's called Detroit.
Why are we doing so much Michigan this week? That's all right.
We picked on Florida, and we picked on Virginia the last 2 weeks. The same area of the state.
This one both here, drunks. Yeah. So okay. So this takes us to Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
Where a man throws a shoe with a revolver inside it at a cockroach, and ironically shoots himself in the foot. Pardon the police. Man has a bullet wound after he attempted to throw a shoe with a loaded gun in it at a cockroach. Police say. WDIV, which is our local NBC station.
Oh, you watch WDIV?
WDIV. That a 50-year-old man was in the home in Detroit when he saw the roach. The man who uses a wheelchair threw his shoe. If he's using a wheelchair, I mean, do you really need a shoe anyway? His shoe at the roach. It had a revolver inside. Why? Why do you have a shoe?
That's where you hide stuff.
That's where you put your revolver in your shoe. Had a revolver inside it. When it fell out, it discharged and shot him in his foot, according to police. Oh, boy.
Well, that's one of the things, and I know you're not a Seinfeld fan, but that's one of the things he talked about. And I remember doing this as a kid that people would use when they go to the beach. Where do you put all your shit? You got your keys, you got your wallet, and nowadays you have your cell phone. But when I was a kid, I didn't have a cell phone. That's where you put it. You said you put it in the impenetrable fortress of the shoe, and nobody knows to look there for all your safe stuff, your wallet, keys, and phone. Yeah. So that must be where he kept his revolver. He put it in his shoe so nobody would find it. Keep it in a safe spot.
Reminds me of The Office, that episode of The Office where Dwight, for becoming the branch manager, interim branch manager, gets a gun holster or a belt from somebody. And so he's walking around the office with his revolver in his holster, and accidentally he says, it's not even loaded or something. He shoots himself right in the foot.
Good old Dwight Schrute.
Yeah, Dwight.
Well, I'm going to go back to Florida again just because, well, two reasons. One, because this is where the next story is Florida. And two, because I'm actually kind of hungry and I could probably use what this guy was looking for. But a naked man revealed on video sneaking into a restaurant and munching on ramen. St. Petersburg, Florida. It started with chicken wings, a beer, and a burglar. Alexa, where is St. Petersburg, Florida?
It's near Tampa.
St. Petersburg is a city in Pinellas County, Florida, in the southeastern United States. Uh-oh. It is located 17.398 miles southwest of Tampa, Florida.
Oh, you're right.
I know.
Look at you. Yeah, it started with chicken wings, a beer, and burglar. It went downhill from there. A St. Petersburg police officer was investigated in a November 6th break-in at the Chataway restaurant, reviewing surveillance footage that shows the burglar devouring a plate of chicken wings and enjoying a beer inside the kitchen. But then the officer stumbled across another incident from the night before, where the video shows a man riding his bike up to the restaurant at 358 22nd Avenue South, pedaling around the parking lot for 10 minutes, then slipping in through the back gate.
That's what she said.
But they were wandering through a bit. He opens the door, I heard that, to a shed for storing odds and ends and removes them one by one. The man gains access to a restaurant bathroom and exits with eyes closed.
Of course he's naked.
Yep. No other way to eat chicken wings. He proceeds to sit naked at one of the restaurant's picnic tables and digs into the meal he brought with him. Maruchan instant lunch ramen.
Ooh.
Yep. The video also shows him playing the bongos, also naked. Came in with his pants on, but he rode off on his bike without pants. Chataway server Chad Pearson said,
"That's what you're supposed to do."
I'm not sure if he took his pants with him, but we didn't find them. We still don't know where his pants are.
It's a secret.
He spray painted a few chairs, the bongos, and a pickle jar, but his handiwork was barely noticeable, the manager said. Everything was put back so neatly. In fact, it was 4 hours before anyone noticed. We would not have known about the naked guy without the cop finding that video. Police identified the man, whose name was Robert Kraft, but he did not release his name because they didn't want to know it was him.
Nice.
He declined to comment and give his name, said the restaurant will not press charges because he caused no harm and because he had just won the Super Bowl.
Nice.
Yeah, naked restaurant eating should be the next sport.
But you have to eat ramen.
Yeah, ramen.
Instant Maruchan instant lunch ramen.
Yeah. That's good stuff, though.
Oh,
before
boy.
We get to the last story, we got to play a little game like I talked about. And I don't know how well I'll do with it.
All right.
But how much of your beer is left?
About pretty much a third of it, maybe.
Well, you're about the same as me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you play. I played this a little bit earlier, and it didn't quite have the same effect because I hadn't had any beer. But Alexa, play Beer Goggles.
Beer Goggles will help decide if you should have another drink. Ready to find out?
Oh, should I go first?
You got to answer her.
Yes. Are you the designated driver?
No.
Are your clothes still on?
Yes.
Do you want them on?
No.
Are you the only one left at the party?
No.
Do you have to get up and go to work in the morning?
Yes.
Do you want to keep your job?
Yes.
Beer Goggles thinks you should seriously stop drinking. Put down your drink and slowly step away. Do you want to play again?
You do it too. Yes.
Beer Goggles will help decide if you should have another drink. Ready to find out?
Yes.
Are you the designated driver?
No.
Are your clothes still on?
No.
How about your underwear?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Are you in your bedroom?
No.
Are you playing strip poker? Say yes or no to answer the question.
He's getting impatient, Robert.
No.
Beer Goggles thinks you should seriously stop drinking. Put down your drink and slowly step away. Do you want to play again?
No.
Okay, see you next time. Please don't drink and drive.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you, ma'am. I've learned my lesson.
She didn't ask if we were recording a podcast, though, so maybe that would have changed her answer.
She should know better.
Oh, boy.
Now, have you been out of the country? I have a passport, and I've been to, like, I don't know where it was, Virgin Islands or whatever the place, Panama, whatever those islands are down there.
Yeah. I've been to the Caribbean and, you know, Mexico,
Panama,
Canada.
Yeah, but that's
really
it. Yeah,
that's really it. It's been boring.
Yeah, I'm afraid to go places because I'm always thinking that something's going to happen, although I'm an old man, so probably not going to get as much trouble as I would have if I was younger. But I remember when I was a kid, there was a story about a guy that got in trouble in Singapore, and I think they thought he stole something, and they caned him in public. So they basically took him out in the town square, and they beat him with a stick.
Yeah, they don't fuck around over there. They'll chop your dick off for drunk driving and stuff like that. I mean,
Yeah. That's what I figured would happen to me.
Well, the biggest thing that you find when you go to, like, Bangkok and things like that is just, you know, stuff getting stolen, your wallet getting stolen, things like that. Which brings us to our last story from World News Daily Report, in which a man's genitals were stolen during a trip to Thailand. What started as a pleasant holiday in Thailand.
Yeah, it was.
Rapidly turned into a nightmare situation when Josh Brown, a 58-year-old American tourist, woke up in excruciating pain to notice his genitals had been removed.
Oh, no. Poor Josh Brown.
During his sleep.
Bangkok.
The victim was allegedly drugged unwittingly before he woke up hours later in a pool of blood in his hotel room while his genitals had been completely removed, leaving him in critical condition.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, the hospital staff were alarmed by the distress calls of the man, who was quickly taken to the Bangkok hospital. So he could receive emergency care while the man suffered from severe bleeding that could have cost him his life. They actually just made him a vagina. So, I mean, that was nice of him.
Hey, good news.
Good news now. You now identify as a woman. We are in the presence of a growing trend on the track.
Wanted one of these.
On the growing trend on the black market for the illegal traffic of human and genitals into China. Ends up in China. What, you know, they're probably making fucking sofas out of them.
Make them into beans.
Said an officer in charge of operations. Large-sized genitals can fetch prices in the tens of thousands of dollars for their alleged aphrodisiac qualities when consumed as food, he says.
It's kind of rubbery.
Yeah, it's like overcooked chicken, right? The health of the 58-year-old man...
How would you like your scrotum cooked?
TTB 06096. How would you like your scrotum cooked?
It's too long. iTunes doesn't like that shit.
The health of the 58-year-old man is stable, and he should be out of the hospital in a few days. Thai authorities warn tourists to be conscious. You have to be conscious. Stay awake when traveling alone and meeting friendly strangers in the streets of Bangkok.
Who are only interested in your genitals.
Who basically just want to remove your genitals and sell them on the black market.
I heard of Chinese organ thieves, but I never heard of Thailand genital thieves.
Oh, man. Bring us back to the U.S. Did you hear about the morgue employee who was arrested for pimping out corpses for sex?
World is daily.
Oh, boy.
If he has unknown children claiming to be his, you all know what happened. Probably stolen by a hoe, needed some cock to go.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Crazy news. Crazy world we live in. You can't even travel to Bangkok without getting your penis and your testicles removed. That's why I'm not going there.
No. Well, I feel like this whole episode was crazy news.
It was very crazy. Crazy news and other stuff and
crazy week.
It was a good episode. It's a good episode, Robert.
Big ass beers.
Big, very large beers.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hopefully that'll hold everybody until next week. We'll see you then.
We'll miss you, but we'll see you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it. Do the falsetto.
Your heart is true. You're a band and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me. And the card attached would say, thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, George.
Perfect.